Please open your Bibles with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, please. It's good to be with you this morning. I know that we are down in number, but it is certainly sick season upon us. And we're glad we're all able to have good enough health to be here this morning. I'll tell you what, it was a pleasure last week listening to our two brothers in Christ give us two messages from God's Word. Daniel, thank you so much for your encouragement about getting out of a rut. I don't know anything about golf. And so the whole concept of changing your swing is something that's helped me. And I think it's going to be practical for all of us to be introspective to figure out whether we're in a rut. And Kirby, thank you so much for your words about discipleship, encouraging us as a shepherd here to grow closer to God and to follow Him more closely. So thank you both so much for the encouragement you gave me and also the glorification you gave to God in the process. This morning, what I would like to do is I would like to change our focus and look at the ways of God and the walk of man. So over the last few weeks, we have looked at the concept of purity, and we finished that last week, and what we are going to begin this morning is a short series that is going to close out 2017 for us. So if you are not aware, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and the new year is right around the corner, and the month of December just always flies by. After you get past Thanksgiving, it seems like you turn around and it's Valentine's Day. And I thought, as we close 2017, what I would like to do is I would like to essentially remind us. As you go throughout various epistles, the book of Romans, 2 Peter, they explicitly mentioned that these books were written as a reminder. Paul wrote the book of Romans not with a bunch of novel information, but as a reminder to them of things he'd already taught them. Peter wrote his epistle not of new information, but as information as a reminder. And what I would like to do is I would like to use the next few weeks as a reminder of what we have talked about in 2017. If you're like me, you have a tendency to forget things. And as I was going through my spreadsheet, Matt, of every sermon that I've had from the last year, I realized I had forgotten whole series that I had preached. And if I'm the one that preached them, I'm going to venture to say that y'all have probably forgotten hearing them as well. And what I would like to do is not re-preach. This is not me just recycling sermons. This is not me just getting lazy so that I have more time to watch Christmas movies. This is essentially just a way for us to remember what we've talked about in 2017. And I'm going to try to add just a different perspective to everything that we talk about. My question for this morning is quite simple. What have been our major lessons for 2017? So as we look back at a whole year, what have been the major lessons that we've done? We're going to get two. What I would like to do this morning is I would like to introduce what we're going to do the next few weeks. And I would really this morning like to deconstruct my own thinking for how I've preached in 2017. There has been a logic to everything that I've tried to do in 2017, especially in the morning services. And what I would like to do this morning is deconstruct my own thinking to see what has been the logic that has guided these sermons, but also what have just been the major lessons for 2017. So this is not new information to anyone here this morning. Our theme this year has come from 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. I've had three people so far to give me 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. Daniel was the first one. I've seen it. He had a note card with water spots all over it in his bathroom mirror that he's had up there ever since January. And that note card he's looked at, I think, every day when he's shaved or whatever. And he's got 1 Chronicles 28, 9 that night I gave the assignment. Violet was my next one, wherever she is. Violet was 3 days later, got it down. And then Cindy got it just right after that. So there's three people, a few more to go for 1 Chronicles 28, 9. I will try to be number four. As for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you cast Him off, He will forsake you forever. From 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, the elders derive the theme of a God-focused year. As the shepherds planned for 2017, we had many conversations about what does this congregation really need to focus on this year. This theme was not just chosen as a haphazard, we need a theme for 2017, but what is really something that we as God's people need to grow in? And as we talked, I think there was no better place to start than just looking at God. And from this verse, we, of course, derive the theme of seeking, knowing, and serving God. So from a macro perspective, everything that we've done has tried to be about seeking God, knowing God better, and serving Him more fully. What I would like to do this morning is I would like to go to Ephesians chapters 4 and 5 and derive a few lessons that are relevant to this and hopefully give us a bird's eye view of what we've talked about in 2017. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is a text we've not talked about this year, but it's a text I think that is a very fitting way to bring everything from 2017 to a close. Paul here tells his readers in what is to me his most profound book that he wrote, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. What does it mean to imitate someone? I think we understand the concept of imitation. Grayson's one of the best imitators I know. His high school teacher, you have to ask him to do his high school teacher at Seneca sometime. It's great. I can do imitations at times. I have a really good Daniel Webb that I can do an imitation of. And we know what an imitation is, right? But here, we are told, be imitators of God. What does it entail to be an imitator of God? If I imitate Daniel, for example, I'll probably get the gruff voice, you know, some of the facial expressions, some of the jokes that are not that funny, and, you know, I'll try to do an imitation, right? That's an imitation. How do you imitate God Almighty? I mean, how do you really imitate God Almighty? You take the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians tells of God's, this is from chapter 1, God's manifold wisdom that He has now made known in the heavenly realm. This is the God who created the world. This is the God who saved the world. This is the God who came up with the perfect plan to save a fallen species from sin, ultimately to bring us back to righteousness. This is the God who designed the greatest of all organizations, the church. This is the God whose wisdom has been made known in His holy word. This is the God that we are to imitate. How do we imitate this God? It seems to be an impossible task. Paul, after giving the most magnificent description of God's work in chapters 1 through 3, the book of Ephesians has a very simple outline. Chapters 1 through 3 tell of God's great plan, and then chapters 4 through 6 tell of the practical implications of that plan. So in chapters 1 through 3, after describing and explaining all that God has done, he then gives the admonition, therefore be imitators of God, but notice how this ends, as beloved children. Isn't there a lesson here? Don't children by their nature imitate their parents? I've come to learn more and more about how even in non-cognitive aspects, I am imitating my parents as an adult. A few weeks ago, I started calling Brooklyn my little pumpkin. Why would I call her a pumpkin? I mean, out of all terms of endearment you can call a child, why a pumpkin? The next time my mom came to visit, she started calling her a little pumpkin. I'm like, good gracious, I'm channeling my mother without even knowing it. I was imitating her without even knowing it. That had been a term of endearment that I'm sure she had used for us, she had used for little nieces and nephews, she had used for kids my whole life. I was imitating her without even knowing it. Children imitate their parents because you're around them a lot. Children imitate their parents because they know them so well. Children imitate their parents because they are with them and know them and spend time with them. And likewise, I would urge us, if we want to be imitators of God, we have to know whom we are imitating. Let's go to Psalm chapter 103, please. Psalm 103. Just as children subconsciously imitate their parents, we need to subconsciously imitate God. Again, the reason children imitate their parents is not because they're trying to. It's just because they're around them so much and know them so well that they imitate them without even thinking about it. We likewise, as God's children, need to know God so well We need to be so intimately acquainted with Him. We need to spend so much time with Him. We need to be so relationally close to Him that we imitate Him without even thinking about it. It tells us in Psalm chapter 103, verse 7, God made known His ways to Moses, His works to the people of Israel. What do we need to know? We need to know, ultimately, this is a verse we've looked at many times in 2017. We need to know not only the works of God, we need to know the ways of God. We need to know whom we are imitating. If you were to ask me the ways as an adult that I imitate my father or my mother, the list would be endless. Even the way that I plan out my week, I've started to note. I've come to see even my priorities in life, they subconsciously came from my father. What I wanted out of life, what I wanted out of a family, even my first time parenting, the way I am as a spouse, so much of that is an imitation of my father. Many of us were blessed with good earthly fathers. Some of you were not. For some of you, I know it may be difficult to understand in practice how to imitate a parent. Because to some of you, the last person in this world you'd ever want to imitate is your earthly father. Whether you were blessed like I was with a good father, or whether you were cursed with a bad one, we need to come to know the ways of our Heavenly Father. How do we do that? Well, another verse that I set out to memorize this year was from Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. There again, Ezra, Natalie, you know this one, you better. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. How do we come to know God? We come to know the ways of God by knowing the Word of God. God has revealed His ways to us through His Word. The more time we spend in His Word, the better we will know His ways. If we want to come to know His ways, we have to go to His Word. I have this year made a list, I wrote it by hand, of just various ways of God that we have come to know this year through aspects of His Word. I'd like to show you just a few. The first class I taught this year was the book of Ezra Nehemiah. What way of God did we learn from that book? Well, if you remember with me, the quality that I emphasized over and over and over again was the faithfulness of God. Why did God bring His people back to the Promised Land? Why did He have them rebuild the temple? Why did He reinstitute His order? Why did He forgive His children? Because He is a faithful God. If you want to see who God is, you go to Ezra Nehemiah and you see His faithfulness. The second class I taught this year was the book of Acts. What do we see in the book of Acts? We see the providence of God. We see God taking some of the most unlikely of figures and making them into some of the greatest figures you have in the whole story of the Bible, because God is a providential, saving God. The third class we taught was the book of Leviticus. In one word, what did we learn about God? God is holy. There you go. God is holy. In every way, God is a holy God. And finally, in this class, in Christ in the Old Testament, too many ways of God to count. But we've come to know the ways of God. Other examples. We began this year, January 15th. Our first sermon for the evangelism services was about grace. If you want to know the ways of God, you look to the grace. The next one then looked at the love of God. We then spent about 4 weeks seeing what the love of God entails. Understanding the love of God is not some simple rainbow concept, but rather the love of God is a demanding doctrine that demands thoughtful consideration of how to reconcile the love of God and the wrath of God. We spent 4 weeks trying to understand how the love of God and the wrath of God relate. Can't remember? Give me 2 weeks and we're going to review that sermon. We looked at the comfort of God. In the month of August, we looked at how God is our comforter. In John 14, verse 1, He told them, "Little children, let not your hearts be troubled." We then spent 4 weeks looking at the comfort of God, how God is a gracious, comforting God. We have looked at the power of God in the book of Genesis. We spent 3 weeks going to Genesis 1 through 3, seeing the power of God and the manifold wisdom of God that He's made manifold. Do you know God better now than you did in January? I do. I don't know of my God better. I know my God better. It is because we as God's people have come together and we have surrounded His Word and we have immersed ourselves in His teachings to see His ways. I had for so long taken the love of God as a simple doctrine. But when you get into Scripture and you see that it is the most difficult of doctrines to reconcile with His wrath, I came to know my God better. When I went and I looked at His grace and then I looked at His wrath and I saw how can God be both, I know my God better. Do you know your God better? I hope you do. I pray you do. If there is anything that I have tried to emphasize over this last year, it is the ways, the qualities, and the characteristics of God. Too often as God's people, I am afraid. We have been so caught up with understanding the teachings of God that we have never stopped to question who God actually is. The doctrine of Christ and the gospel of Christ make no living sense unless you first know who God is. In all ways, we need to first begin to understand who God is, and then everything else will follow from there. Brethren, let us always come to know God better, and let us come to know who He is. But now let's come to look at the walk of man. As you go back to the book of Ephesians with me, remember, Paul told them in Ephesians 5 verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children. Practically, what does that mean? As we go through Ezra and Nehemiah, I see a faithful God and a faithless people. I see a God who had to forgive time after time after time after time. What does that teach me about my own imitation of God? In my relationships, I need to be faithful. In every relationship, not just marriage, but especially in marriage. But I need to be faithful. The other person may break faith time and time and time and time again. But I'm going to be a person of my word. I'm going to be faithful. If I have set to live by the standard of righteousness, I'm going to set to live by the standard of righteousness. We imitate our God. In the book of Leviticus, we looked at the holiness of God. God is holy. What does that demonstrate about our own imitation of God? We need to be a holy people who are not giving in to the sinful ways of this world, but who are living according to the righteous ways of our God. When we looked at the book of Acts, we see a providential working God. What does that teach us about our imitation of Him? We need to be a working, active people. Another one, our God is a living God. What does that show us? If we serve a living God, we need to be a growing people. We need to imitate Him. And that is why Paul tells them in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness. Patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. While we may know the ways of God and imitate His ways, we need to imitate the ways of God in our own walk. Therefore, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What do we need to do? We need to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Does that remind you of another major focus of this year, Psalm 1? Do it with me. I called Randy Runner on the spot on this 2 weeks ago and he nailed it, so we'll see if I can do it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Do you see how Psalm 1 Psalm 103:7 and Ephesians 5:1 come together to give us this spherical view of the Bible. The way of God needs to be imitated in our own ways and ultimately in our own walks. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. What does that do? It gives us a choice. We can either walk in the way of the wicked or we can stand in the congregation of the righteous. Where will we walk? I would recommend for us there's two walks, there's two ways in our own lives. First, there's the unworthy way. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from their life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." What way are they walking? They're walking in the way of the world. They're not walking like God's children. They are not walking like ultimately His people. They are walking like children of Satan. And how then are they living? You go down to verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." The unworthy way is filled with anger. It is filled with wrath. It is filled with malice. It is filled with slander. It is filled with clamor. It is filled with hatred. That is the unworthy way. That is not the way of our God. The way of our God is a way of love and of holiness and of justice and of forgiveness. The way of the world is a whole different walk. Which way do we live in? The second way, however, is the worthy way. Back to Ephesians 5, verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children," and note this, "walk in love." As you go through Ephesians 4 through 6, Paul emphasizes over and over this idea of walking. If you want to outline Ephesians 4 through 6, use the term walk. That's his theme. Walk in love. "As Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What do we need to do? Practically, verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Lesson number one from this year was we need to know the ways of God. Lesson number two from this year is our walks need to imitate His way. And I'm going to deconstruct a little bit now, quite explicitly. I have throughout this year tried to emphasize the qualities and characteristics that define our walk, always based on God's ways. Everything that we do, we need to ask the question, what is the quality of God that is driving this action? What is the way of God that is driving our walk? What is the aspect of God that is defining our action in this moment? And in the various lessons that we've done, in the various series that we've listened to, I have always tried to emphasize how do the ways of God drive our own walk with Him. Blessed is the man who walks not, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous. A few examples of this. From the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we saw that God was faithful. What then do we need to do? We need to have a mind to work. From Acts, we saw that God is faithful. That then teaches us our own need for unity. From the book of Leviticus, we saw that God is holy. Likewise, we need to live a sanctified life. From the Old Testament class, there's too many to name right now. Various series that we've done. We've looked at love. It then demands that we be people of love and forgiveness. We had 3 weeks that looked at faith. We need to be faithful Christians. We've looked at the various aspects of the love of God that then demand us to drive anger out from our hearts. We have looked at how God is a living God and how we need to grow. We have looked how God is a gracious God, so we need to have a faith that works. And we have looked at how God is a pure God, so finally we need to be pure. Our walk needs to be defined by His ways. So what have we learned in 2017? We need to seek, we need to know, we need to serve. Two major lessons I would give. Number one, we need to come to know God by learning His ways through His Word. Do you know God now better than you did in January? I certainly pray so. I certainly pray so. It will take an eternity to ever begin to know God. But every year, every month, every week, every day, every moment needs to take us closer to knowing God, knowing His ways, knowing Him. Number two, we have to come to imitate God's ways in our walks. Is your walk more sanctified and closer to God now than it was in January? I'll give y'all one practical example. It was not until I really, this was been back in May and June, when we looked at the love of God for a few weeks. I had never noticed how many warnings in the Bible there are about anger. And our shepherds know my heart, and they know I struggle with anger. When I saw how God is a loving God, it has forced me to repent from and do better about my anger. My walk needs to be closer to God. My walk needs to be defined by His ways. Where is your walk? Where are your ways? Get out your songbook, please. So what I would like to do over the next few weeks is I would like to go through various series that we've done. I think I've done 7 series this year, some of which you may have completely forgotten about, as I had. And I would really like to examine 2 things. What is the way of God that is driving this? And then what are the practical implications that this should have on our walk with God? Right after we had Brooklyn, one of the men from Lafayette, one of the Christians up there, had sent us an email of congratulations. And he said something I'll probably never forget. He said, "Ryan, you may know God, but you'll come to understand Him now as a father." And I thought, there's so much truth in that. Yes, I think I knew God somewhat, as well as we can ever know Him in this life. But I really didn't understand Him until Brooklyn was born. But then I thought of the corollary of that. Really, the relationship of a child with a parent defines our own relationship of knowing God. Right after Brooklyn was first born, I don't even think she knew that we were there. Really, for the first couple of weeks, if she was able to even perceive that we were there, she was so overwhelmed by this life that she probably did not even perceive that her mother and I were there for her. Then probably about week 3, her eyesight got a little bit better. She at least could start seeing light, I think. And then she was able to perceive that someone was there. She didn't know who he was, but there was someone there changing her diaper and holding her and cuddling with her. She really didn't know who I was, but she knew someone was there. And I pray there'll come a point where Karen told me this will be the highlight of my life, when she'll look at me and she'll smile because she knows who I am. She knows I'm her father. And then there'll come a point where we'll start having our daddy-daughter discourses. And we'll start talking. And she'll come to know me a little bit. But then it probably won't be until she's an adult that she'll really come to know my ways and who I am. Isn't that the pattern of us in our knowledge of God? Isn't it a shame that we have so many individuals in this life who will never come to know our God? They're like the crying newborn who is so overwhelmed by the situations of this life that they will never stop their whining. They'll never stop their crying to look up and see the beautiful face of our Father. There's other individuals that they know there's someone there who's guiding them and helping them and sustaining them, but they have no desire to know who He is, no capacity to really know Him. There's other individuals that may look up and know that God's a little bit different and may be able to pick Him out from other people, but they really don't know who He is. But really, isn't the ideal to really come to know who He is, to come to know their ways? I know my parents as an adult far better than I did even when I was 18. I've come to know my grandparents far better as an adult, perhaps even than even my first 19 years of life. I've come to know their ways. Do you know the ways of God? Practically, You may be like the newborn, and I'll be quite candid. Stop the whining, look up and see God, know that He's there, and let Him take care of you. Have faith. We need to know our God. The first step to knowing Him is, of course, coming into relationship with Him. It tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You have come to enter into relationship with Christ. The way that we come to know God, and I'm skipping ahead a few weeks, but we'll go ahead and go there. The way that we come to know God is we come to know God through Christ. If you need to come to God, put off sin, and come to Him this very morning, come forward while we stand and while we sing.